You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Good morning. Welcome to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Bach, and Calvin Butenoff coming to you live from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us. Call or text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. You can also leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Coming up later on this hour after 10:30, the Acme Packing Company's Paul Noonan will be here to talk all things sports, and we will wrap up the show as we always do around 10:51 with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Today it is the Grab the Bull by the Horn edition. You want to stick around for that. Right now, though, we are joined by Trisha Peterson is our guest. She is with We Can, and we're going to talk about the Wisconsin budget and child care in particular. Trisha, good morning. Thanks so much for joining us.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. So Governor Evers, early in the morning, 1:30 this morning, did sign the budget. There have been some concessions to child care, but obviously this is not everything that everyone had hoped for.
Definitely not. We were definitely disappointed, that's for sure. Another Band-Aid, which we expected. So we'll get $110 million for the next year. And then in June, it's fight for yourself because no one's coming to save us. So the ones that are voting will be out as of March of next year until the following year, till January. So as of June, when the money runs out, we will not have anything left. So I think you'll continue to see closures and you'll continue to see prices hiked and parents pulling their kids because they just can't afford it. So it's not going to be pretty.
We've been kind of struggling with the budget this week just because when it was announced, Governor Evers, the Republicans, and some Democrats were like, this is it. The Democrats, it's not the best, it's not perfect, but it's better than what the Republicans were going to give us. And then a lot of Democrats came out and We Can came out and said, we are not in favor of this. We don't like this. We found out that, you know, as you said, you're going to get 1 year of funding. I have a bunch of questions. The first of all is, why did they agree to just 1 year of funding? Why wouldn't they fund for 2 years? And Which is the length of the budget. It just makes sense. It seems like they said the Democrats almost said, all right, we'll give them 1 year and then we'll check back in a little while. But also the second question is, why do Democrats then, and I'm not asking you, I don't want to ask you to speak for the Democratic Party, but why do they call this a win if something like this, which is such a big concern, is not being helped in the long run? It's, as you said, being given a Band-Aid. That was a very weird question to ask, but it just doesn't, it doesn't make sense. It just doesn't make sense.
I think at the end of the day, they wanted us in the budget, and to begin with, we had $0 in the budget. So I think that was the biggest piece of the compromise. We'll give you 1 year, but the money isn't even coming from the budget money. It's actually coming from the ARPA funds. It's the interest that they've earned on that. So it's not even coming from the budget. So $0 of the $110 million is actually coming from the budget. So this is money. This is interest money. And so I think this is the compromise of putting us in there and giving us to shut us up. Is that I feel the other little pieces, though, there is money from the budget that is supposed to help us, like the 4K bill. I think if we're still here, we could utilize that, but I don't think I'll be here to utilize it. And then I think the thing that we get really frustrated about is adding more children already into the classrooms is not going to help our budgets. It's actually going to run teachers out, and we won't have the centers because comes to work as the teacher. So I feel like there's such a misunderstanding of what the actual ask should have been. And we've been saying this for years of wages are our issue. It's not deregulation. It's not adding more kids to our centers. It's not anything else but wages. How do we get monies into the teachers' pockets so they stay and they feel valued and heard? I think that at the end of the day, that's it. And I think I commend them for trying to compromise, but I also feel like they hung all this money in front of us. And now they're like, do something that's so illegal and so unethical, and then I'll give you some money. Like that, it doesn't sit well with me.
Tricia Peterson is our guest. We were talking about the Wisconsin state budget. And Tricia, you own a daycare center.
Yes, I own a licensed child care facility group center out in Dodge County. It's a very rural area. It's a smaller center.
But the need for child care, especially in those areas, must be massive.
It is. And our wait list is just, it's long. And there's, you know, you have to go 25 miles to the next town to get another child care center. But what we struggle with is quality in this area and around the state. So I feel like this budget just pushed us even worse into that category. So
a question also. So when we hear the we were on the outside, of course, we as in this show, we were not a part of these discussions. So all I know is what we were told. And one of the biggest things they told us was that state Senator Dianne Heselbein, who is the minority leader of the Senate, was invited to the table to have this discussion. Besides her, was there anybody else in that room who had a deep knowledge of what you were looking for, who could have fought for exactly what you were trying to get? Or at the very least, I'm just going to start with just 2 years of funding. I'm going to make it that easy, just 2 years of funding. Or was it a matter of the people in the room fighting for your, advocating for you, just didn't get it right?
I don't know how to feel right now. I think my mind is just so crazy, but I honestly don't know if anyone else is sitting at that table. I wish Corinne was on here too, to answer those questions. I feel no, because I feel like some of those Dems would have really voiced their opinions, because they're the ones that voted no for this bill. So I don't feel that. I truly believe that they feel that they compromised and won by giving us the 1 year, because we weren't even in the budget. So I feel like that is their win, I think, per se. And I just sit here wondering, so when do I tell my families like, here's my new rates and I know you can't afford it. So what's the best? Should we close in December or in May? Like it's one of those situations. So
there's, there are so many questions I have, Tricia, and
I agree.
Yeah. And the thing is like, we try to like look at the point of view of the people who say this was I personally feel like had the Democrats been asked to the table sooner, like 2 or 3 weeks before,
it would be a different
there
deal.
Would be a different story to tell right now, and we may be having a different conversation, or you wouldn't need to be here right now, because you'd be like, I'm gonna keep running my business. But
yeah, and celebrating, like this is a huge, like this is such a historic time that they could have really, really, really done something great for us and the kids of the future. At the end of the day, it's not about me. It's about the children of the future and how we can help them and support them to have a great foundation, to get them to go to school and to have a great education. And so the education journey starts with us. And now pulling us out of those, you know, opportunities for these families to be in the workforce, I think you're not going to see it today or tomorrow, but as the year goes on, more centers. I know like a couple weeks ago, there was like 5 centers that closed in 1 week because they just are done fighting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you just can't do it anymore. You just can't do it anymore.
No. And it's like, we're not being heard, because at the end of the day, I think it was Voss that said, we don't want the money to go directly to the centers.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, the teachers are the ones that need the money, right? We need to get them. $13 and $14 an hour isn't going to pay the bills for them to. I mean, I have some staff that literally can't move out of their house. They graduated college, they have an associate degree in childcare, and they can't move out because they can't live off of $13 to $14 an hour to pay their bills. Like, who would allow their kids to go into this field?
Yeah.
You know, like, and the future isn't going to be there.
And Tricia, I think it's important for folks to recognize that there is a lot more structure to daycare than I think most people who do not have kids realize. You are teaching them things. There's a schedule. It's not like my daycare where I would allow them to run around and throw pancakes at each other. You actually teach them things and prepare them for school.
We have lesson plans, assessments, portfolios. We do conferences. We do everything a school district does and more, because we're opened 12 months out of the year,
right?
You know, so when they're closed, when COVID shut down, we were the ones those kids stay in school and still getting and maintaining their education. So we are the base foundation. 90% of children's brains are formed before the age of 5. That's us. We're the experts. And now we're pretty much, this is what I said to the group last night, is like, I honestly feel that they don't think our profession even exists, and that we're even anything except the bottom of the line scum. Like, we barely made it through college. Yeah. We don't even have an education. Like, we can't support that, because 16-year-olds can do this. Why can't you?
Well, and,
no, babysitters get paid more than us.
Yeah, I was thinking the exact same thing. Yeah. If you paid a babysitter, you would be paying them more than $13 an hour, and all they're doing are watching your children play. Yeah. We are talking about educators who are actually teaching our kids and preparing them for school. And we're saying, we're going to pay you less than a babysitter.
Well, and I think, and this is not on you to do, Tricia, but I feel like it's also sort of a branding issue, because when people hear childcare, they equate it to daycare.
Yep.
And childcare just sounds like babysitting. And that's not what this is. This should be called school. This should be called early childhood development, education, whatever you want to call it, to make people understand, oh, I'm paying for an education, not just to make sure my kid doesn't get beans all over their face and come home gross and dirty.
That's my daycare.
That's Jane's daycare. Yeah. It's pancakes galore. That's what it's going to be called.
It's fine.
And the other thing, too, and we discussed this with Corrine, is that on a base level of policy and not policy, but of politics, to go to your constituents and say, regardless of party, I fought for these childcare centers to stay open, to get them money, and to make sure they're paid well, so your children have a place to go, so you can work, and that they don't close down. That's a win-win, regardless to me, of party. Like, to me, you go back to your district and you celebrate making
sure
that—
Look what I did for you.
1,000 centers don't close, but for some reason, this obstinance— This, as you said, this looking at what you do as less than is the biggest problem.
And extremely short-sighted.
Oh,
it's really short-sighted.
Which we love to do.
Troy from Mount Horeb has been waiting a long time on the phone. Thank you for your patience, Troy. Real quickly, what did you want to say?
Oh, that's fine. I just really hope that the governor got assurances from these Republicans that they're not going to hold up funding and joint finance like they did the last budget, because, you know, they can say whatever they want, but then they don't do it. So I just hope that was handled.
I hear you, Troy. Gee, who would think that we would perhaps be somewhat suspicious of the Republicans and the Joint Finance Committee? Why would that be? Don't tell me.
I would love to hear of an instance where the Joint Finance Committee said, we'll pay for that, and then says no. They just flat out say no. We're not paying for hospitals or clean water or education. No, that's.
I would almost respect them more.
Well, that's what they do.
Yeah,
they just say no.
Came out and said, "Yeah, we're not going to fund anything." We're going to continue our conversation with Tricia Peterson. We are talking about childcare and the Wisconsin state budget that did get signed about 1:30 this morning by Governor Evers. Stay with us. You are listening to Matt and Air on Air, coming to you across the vast, statewide, countrywide. You can pick us up globally on the app. The Civic Media Radio Network. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Good morning and welcome back to Matt and Air on Air. Jane Matt and Air, Greg Bach, Calvitini on the board, coming to you live from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. Join us, call or text at 855-752-4842. That's 855-75-CIVIC. You can also leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Tricia Peterson is here. She is a childcare center owner in Wisconsin, and we're talking about the Wisconsin state budget. They did give some crumbs to the childcare industry. That's what we're talking about right now. We did have a text come in from John listening on WAUK, John from the Falls, who says the answer why Republicans gave in is pretty easy. They don't want 18 months of negative press and how they've screwed kids in our state when they can provide some funding for a year and hope that the negative consequences ending comes so close to the election, it won't get noticed by voters.
Well, I mean, Robin Voss is the man who said they gave the greatest injection of funding into the educational system in a generation, which is easy to say when you give them nothing for so long. If I give you $5 after 20 years of nothing, that's the greatest increase you've gotten from me. Tricia, we had Kelda Royce on the show. I'm sorry, State Senator Kelda Royce on the show this week. And one thing she mentioned was a budget repair bill. are your boots right back on the ground talking about this with her and other leaders, as well as other lobbyists, to look towards next year to try to get a fix in for the rest of this budget period?
Absolutely. I don't think we'll stop. As much as we say we're upset, I don't think it's going to end. I think we'll still try our hardest to continue the fight and hopefully sit down with them if they're open to it and to have discussions about it. I think most Democrats are listening to us. I'm not sure like all of them. There were some that voted for this bill. So
right.
I'm not sure all of them understand the process. And I think that's, we go back to every time is education. And educating them on what we do and why it's so important. So absolutely, we'll try our hardest.
I'm curious what you hear from your parents, Tricia. I mean, they must understand what a valuable service you provide. They must be baffled why our lawmakers don't want to fund it.
Oh, absolutely. The biggest thing of the hurdle is getting them to advocate for us as well, you know, trying to get them to understand that they need to hear your voices and,
yes.
and from, you know, not only them and the employers, but they do. And they understand that because it's coming from their pocketbooks, I can't afford any more. And I'm currently right now the highest center in Dodge County. I charge the most. Quality is expensive. And we try to do our best with what we have, but we're working with peanuts. I mean, we're only a center licensed for 48 kiddos. So the only income we have coming in is from the parents. So it's hard.
And that's,
so I think they're struggling and with everything else in their lives going up,
yeah,
right? Food
yeah.
and housing. I can't imagine, you know, what some of these people pay in rent and all this
yep.
stuff. It childcare is literally, you know, up there in one of their biggest components
expenses.
Of what they pay a month.
Sure.
And I think that's another thing of realization and the reality versus the perception of when people hear about childcare going up X amount of dollars, there are individuals who will say, well, what is that paying for? I mean, why do you need that much more? No, they want to pay their staff a decent wage to, as you said, move out of their parents' house, but also to afford the educational aspect of what's going on. This isn't to pay for your second boat, Tricia. This is to pay for your business and making sure the kids are taken care of.
She's got a Maserati. She drives around Dodgeville all the time. That's what all our child care providers are just raking in the dough.
And that, and I think that's what they honestly feel is that when they pay it, you know, it goes right to our pockets. But 86% of my budget is my staff. And so I can't pull anything else. Our overhead costs, food, mortgage, our insurance. We are one of our biggest, and that alone covers probably I would like to say over 50%, but it's not. It's like probably 17% of my budget. So that alone, and then, you know, employees. And so if you can't keep employees, you can't keep your doors open. And I think that's where we're going to end up having staff can only do so much. Their mental health is so important. And adding more children to our childcare classrooms is not the answer.
Well,
it's actually a safety issue.
Yeah, absolutely. And that we had talked about what Robin Voss's big idea was, let's pay businesses to open childcare centers. Oh, yeah, they're all signing up and lining up to do that because they want to follow the insurance
exactly.
requirements that you have to follow and all the other safety things and all the other regulations involved with that. Oh, yeah, they're all lining up to do that.
That's what we said. If it's so easy, people would have done it years ago,
yeah.
right? But it's such a different way of looking at things. I have one of my parents is an accountant. She's like, let me see your budget. I can do this. And it's not that easy. Like, you look at it and it's like, where else can you cut stuff from?
Yeah,
right.
You can't, like, we need food on the table. We need, yes, supplies. But at some point, the paper runs out, the crayons run out,
yeah.
all that stuff. I don't know. I honestly don't know. Like, I am dumbfounded on what I'm going to do. So it's back to the drawing board.
Well, we will continue keep this conversation going. Tricia Peterson, thank you so very much for your time. Hang in there. I'll come in and volunteer for a day. I don't know that
you
want
don't
me.
Want that.
Probably not that's a whole other insurance issue, Tricia.
Pancakes everywhere.
The Republicans should be coming in and volunteering.
That's
yes.
a great idea.
Yes.
I love that idea. Thank you so much. Stay with us. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network. We will be right back. Good morning. Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, resident young person Calvin on the board, coming to you live from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. You can join us, call or text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. You can also leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Coming up in a little bit, about 15 minutes or so, we'll wrap up the show, as we always do with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Today it is the Grab the Bull by the Horn edition. You want to stick around for that.
Thank God there's no video component. Yeah,
no kidding, not this time. And just a reminder, if you are just joining us, or you're just waking up, or you're just getting going, we do have a Wisconsin state budget. Governor Evers signed it about 1:30 in the morning. Dan Schaefer and Charlie Pittman, our civic media news director, and other folks in our news department have a great article about it on our website. Mm-hmm. So go to civicmedia.us and click on news, and that will get you kind of up to speed on what's going on in Wisconsin.
I also made it part of the show notes, too.
So. Excellent. You can find it there. He joins us every other Thursday, or sometimes every Thursday at this time. The Acme Packing Company's Paul Noonan is here to talk all things sports. Paul, good morning. Thanks for joining us.
Hey, good morning, everybody.
What's the Bucks? Let's start with
what's
Calvin.
What's the Bucks?
Wait, the Bucks. What's with all the drama with the Bucks?
The Bucks have been in huge financial, not trouble. It's a basketball team. They're worth billions of dollars, not financial trouble, but they've been up against the cap for quite a while. They have given out a ton of max contracts to people over time. The NBA cap is like the hardest cap to figure out. So most people, including really smart people I know who do NBA cap analysis for a living, thought that they basically couldn't make any substantial deals without moving a ton of pieces around. And here we are, and the Bucks made a major deal with some very clever financial work on their part, signing Miles Turner in a sign-and-trade away from the Pacers. Also very important to note, the Bucks don't just get stronger here. The Pacers, who are in the NBA Finals,
yeah,
and an injury away from not probably winning it, but being like a coin flip from winning it. Miles Turner is a Buck now. He's a center. He's only 28 years old. He's a good player. Brook Lopez has departed us for the Clippers, and Brook's awesome, but he's really up there at this point. He can't really move as much anymore. Turner's only 28. He's a very athletic, power forward center. He will step in, and he's not as good a defender as Brook was in his prime, but you don't have Brook in his prime, and he's had a few down ballot defensive player of the year nominations. He's a good scorer, not a great scorer, but like in terms of getting someone who's kind of close to a star on this team, this is about as good as you could have possibly hoped for. The way that they were able to pull it off is by waiving Damian Lillard, and I'll be honest, the NFL does this all the time, and I didn't know you could do this in the NBA, but the way they were able to do this is to they waive him. He's not on the team anymore. He's owed a lot of money, but they're spreading out each of his cap hits over the next 5 seasons to have less of an impact on the cap, give them room to sign Turner. The reason they can do this is it's an NBA rule that I just learned, a lot of other people did too. You can do this kind of spread out if the cap hit does not exceed 15% of your total cap. The Lillard wave hits 14.9%, and so they can do it. And that is how they have Miles Turner, and while Lillard is gone, they also managed to bring back most of the rest of the team. Bobby Portis is back, Gary Trent Jr. is back, Torian Prince and Jericho Sims, lesser extent, also are back. Pat Connaughton's gone. But this goes from a team that looked like it was in rough shape to a team that, while maybe not like the front runners in the Eastern Conference, look like real contenders again, especially because the Pacers won't have Tyrese Halliburton or Miles Turner on their team next mm-hmm. year. So it's clever. The Bucks are, if nothing else, good at getting the most out of their cap. This will all come due at some point, and the Bucks will be horrible at some point post Giannis. But I mean, the Bucks were always going to be horrible post Giannis, and that's just how that's going to go. This should at least keep them happy for the foreseeable future, give them some flexibility, and they should be at least somewhat exciting next year. So I think good all around.
Well, I think one of the things to notice, too, is that this week, I mean, one of the biggest proponents of all of this was Giannis. Giannis was on the social medias retweeting our very own Dan Schaefer,
yes.
I might say.
Yeah.
But he seems very excited about what's happening with this team. And I think that's most important because, you know, right after they were knocked out of the playoffs, everyone was asking the question, and there was everyone had a rumor. Everyone had heard Giannis is talking, Giannis is saying, Giannis is doing. And meanwhile, he's on vacation with his family. But
yeah,
the fact that he is happy, it means a big deal, I think, for a lot of fans too, because everyone can have that joint excitement.
Yeah, and there's nothing the national media likes more than speculating on where Giannis wants to go that's not Milwaukee.
Yeah.
It is like,
seriously.
It's like 15% of ESPN coverage. So, you should, the Bucks, first of all, they're smart about this. Like, Giannis is your thing. He got you a title. Watching them is good because he's here. Whether they win a title every year or not, they should do whatever they need to keep him healthy, as long as he's any good at all, which, you know, should still be for quite a while. I'm sure he will leave eventually, because eventually contracts will come up, the salary cap will come up and bite them, and they'll need to move on. But there's no reason for Milwaukee to move on before it's time to move on at all. A rebuild from Milwaukee will not necessarily go great. It's not that easy to do. And so this kind of clever financial shenanigans is totally a fine thing to do. Honestly, once he's gone, you want to be as bad as possible. And, you know, they don't have a first-round pick for like 5 years anyway, just because of all the trading that they've done to keep the team competitive. So tanking for the next half decade wouldn't work anyway. So this is good. I can't believe Miles Turner's on the team. I didn't think they could pull something like that off, and I'm very glad that they did.
What I kind of love, though, is the NBA must be so irked that a superstar player like Giannis is in Milwaukee. That must just annoy them to no end, which gives me great pleasure.
Yeah, I think they've had a lot of annoyances lately, especially because it was in Indiana-Oklahoma City finals that they, you know, what they want is the Knicks and Lakers,
yes,
or the Celtics and Lakers, mm-hmm, in the finals,
yes,
or the Bulls, whatever.
Yeah.
Every single year, teams that just can't get out of their own way, not the Celtics are fine, but they can't get out of their way a lot of the time. And the NFL is a league of national contracts, and they don't really care where their stars play because everybody's on TV all the time, and it doesn't really matter what size your market is. And the NBA is good at marketing in some respects. Like, they're huge internationally. They're very popular. I'm not criticizing the NBA for their business practices. It's probably stupid and arrogant by me, but I do think it's weird that they don't embrace their small market stars a little bit more, because, you know, TNT, TBS, places where you watch the NBA tend to be national, and it doesn't matter where the team is from,
right,
in that instance. It matters how cool their uniform looks. It matters how cool those guys are when they play. Like, that's what matters. And everybody should learn the NFL's lesson here, where, you know, the Packers are one of the most popular teams of all time. They're not in a big market. They don't even have cool uniforms.
Yeah.
They have very old-timey uniforms.
Yeah.
But if you promote people the right way, it doesn't matter. And that's one thing that the NBA, I think, kind of does fall down on.
If you're just joining us, we're talking to Acme Packing Company's very own Paul Noonan, who is also our sports guru, who joins us every other Thursday, or sometimes every Thursday. And we're talking about the Bucks making big moves. And Paul, I have to imagine, with the scrum of information that's come out on social media, we haven't heard anything about Doc Rivers, which means it seems like his job for now is secure, but we know that the Bucks love to have more than one head coach on the payroll.
I think his job is probably secure. However, the Bucks are weird with coaches, and they are very swayable. They surprise you quite a bit with coaches, and this is another area where you always have to consider the Giannis factor. I mean, Giannis has clearly been able to dominate coaching decisions for good and ill, sometimes more for ill of late. And so Doc is, like, it was a tough spot that he got into last year. I think Doc's like a fine, averagey NBA coach. But if the Bucks had someone that Giannis liked, or that they really liked, that became available, they'd probably make that deal just because they're trying to keep things going. But Doc, for the moment, is probably safe. Yeah. You know, the other thing is, good NBA coaches don't just fall in your lap that often. And so if I had to put money on it, I'd say it's probably him next year so far.
I mean, I would also say that sometimes decent coaches also get fired in the middle of the season for no reason.
They
so
do.
That does happen, yes.
I wanted to get Calvin's thoughts on this, because you are a Bucks fan, and you had in the middle of the outpouring of love for Brooks Lopez, you were pretty adamant and blunt about your thoughts on Brooke being traded away.
I mean, I love Brooke. I love what he brought to the team, but it was time.
Yeah.
It was time to move on from Brooke. He was not adding what we needed any longer, and he's, for whatever reason, he's worth more money than he's actually worth. Like, Milwaukee would have had to pay him more than I think is reasonable to keep him.
Mm-hmm.
And then just a couple other quick points. One thing about Miles Turner that's kind of interesting. He was the only player in the league to make 140 threes and have 140 blocks last season. And there's also another point is there's currently this narrative going around that the Bucks like did Damian Lillard dirty. And I just think that's ridiculous. He's getting all of his money. And now he gets to do as he pleases for the next year while he is recovering and not able to play basketball.
Anyway,
yeah. Kelvin's 100% right on that one. They did the opposite of doing him dirty. Like, he gets all of his money.
Yeah.
And he can go find whatever situation he likes best. Like, honestly, if he wanted to come back, he doesn't want to this, by the way. If he wanted to come back to the Bucks, he could. He's already been paid by them. That won't happen. But he gets everything perfect for him. He gets to recovers, he gets paid, he can go join another contender somewhere as whatever he brings to the table as a, you know, recovering from serious injury old man at this point. But yeah, anybody saying they did him dirty is completely off base there.
I'm just a little disappointed because the Dame Giannis era never got to happen.
It really didn't.
The city was so excited about that. Everyone was so excited about that, and it just sort of
fizzled out.
Yeah.
In the time we have left, Paul, let's talk a little bit about Brewers. I don't know where I've been, but I saw the first picture of Mizorowski in the paper from this morning.
Yep.
What a skinny little thing.
He is.
He's skinny, little twiggy arms, and he throws 110 like miles an hour.
Yep. He's very skinny. He's very young. And he did get roughed up a little bit yesterday, a little bit of bad luck against the Mets in the second half of the doubleheader. Right before he gave up a grand slam. We've talked about all the good things about Miz. He does have occasional control issues, and he was having them against the Mets. The Mets also have a much better lineup than the Pirates do. Everybody's got a better lineup than the Pirates do, but the Mets have one of the better lineups.
Not the Rockies.
And so, you know, they're going to test you a little bit more. If you throw in the zone too much, they're going to hit it. And he did have some trouble actually locating some of his off-speed pitches yesterday. It happens. He's a young kid. He's still pitching okay. But the pitch before, or the out before the grand slam was hit, it was ball back up the middle that he tried to field. And if he just doesn't get a piece of it, it's a force out at second base. And that would have saved the whole game, and he probably gets the win. But, you know, bad things happen. There were two grand slams yesterday. The Brewers hit one in game one. The Mets hit one in game two. Sometimes that's just how the ball bounces. But he still pitched okay. What are you going to do?
He is the Acme Packing Company sports guru, and he joins us every week or every other week. Paul Noonan, thank you so very, very much. Happy 4th of July. We will see you in a couple.
Yep, happy 4th, all.
Stay with us. We're going to wrap up the show with this shouldn't be a thing. Grab the bull by the horn edition that's on the way on Civic Media. Stay with us.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, and the Board Lord coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us, call or text at 855-752-4842. You can also leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. We just had Paul Noonan on from the Acme Packing Company to talk sports. And a little shout out to our producer, Calvin, from Carmella in Milwaukee. Calvin, I always value your Bucks perspective, and I agree with you wholeheartedly.
There you go. I personally feel like there is a Calvinator-hosted podcast that should be coming soon on Civic Media about sports.
Sports balls with Calvin.
His face right now.
All right. We can workshop that, Calvin. Yeah. It doesn't have to be
balls
that.
Of sports with Calvin Butenhoff.
Oh, so much potential there. But yes, thank you for that, Carmella. And yes, you are into the Bucks. That's awesome.
That's great.
It's fantastic.
And that song was fantastic, too.
Yeah,
go
it was.
Bucks, go
was,
Bucks.
Calvin's been on a roll this morning. Hey, tomorrow we will be off. It is the 4th of July, but we've got a specially curated show for you, and Free Ticket Friday will be happening. Even though It's just a special replay for you tomorrow. So be listening, starting with Pat Kreitlow from 6 to 9.
Yeah.
And then our show, 9 to 11. Tom Hartman, 11 to 2. Todd Alba, 2 to 4. Maggie Dawn, 4 to 6. We will have a keyword for you that you want to text in tomorrow via the Civic Media app. And then you are in the running for a 4-pack of Milwaukee Brewers Club level tickets for
July the 11th against the Washington baseball team.
The one in Washington.
The Nationals.
Yes.
I don't know why I can never remember that name.
And then Monday, we are also off. We're taking a slightly extended weekend.
Yeah.
And so Matt Rothschild will be here.
Correct.
Covering the show for us.
And I know you wanted to do this really quick. When we have these kind of vacations, when we have these kind of moments, there are people behind the scenes who are working their butts off to make sure everything happens.
For our traffic department.
Exactly. We salute you. Just like everybody else behind the scenes, you make it happen.
They absolutely do.
Yes.
Big shout out to our traffic department here at Civic Media. They cram on weekends like this because they have to get a lot of stuff done in a short period of time. And so all props to our traffic department.
I would actually say the bigger thing for them is to remind us to do it.
You mean to do our job?
To herd us like cats to say, hey, can you get that stuff for us?
Could you do your job like you're supposed to? We would really appreciate that.
Yeah.
It's 10:55, Kelvin. That means it's time for
This Shouldn't Be a Thing.
If you have a thing you think should not be, send it in to Greg and me at janesays@civicmedia.us. Here is the headline from The Guardian. Nobody with a byline on this one. I wonder why. Australian man charged with cattle theft after $100,000 load of bull semen found. Grafton Australian man faces 20 charges after police uncover embryos, a tank of semen, and the alleged deceptive sale of Wagyu cows. I'm just reading the article.
Not an Australian story?
This is in The Guardian. Bull semen worth $100,000, part of a haul, allegedly stolen cattle uncovered by police in an area of Australia. A 34-year-old man now facing 20 charges, including cattle theft, getting financial advantage after stealing cows from his employer.
Wait, that's a crime? Getting financial?
Obtaining financial advantage after allegedly stealing more than 100 cattle from his employer. A vet contacted the 34-year-old, who's also facing animal cruelty. This is complicated. Police allege the sale led to a discount of almost $100,000. The man bought the herd through a third party who had stolen the cat. It's just a mess.
He bought it on the dark web.
He did.
Dark web.
There's a dark web, all right. Police say the vet then produced false documents. The vet has been charged with committing animal cruelty. The other guy is facing 20 charges. The 34-year-old charged with 20 different offenses, including cattle theft, animal cruelty, and obtaining financial advantage by deception. He's out on bail. He's been granted bail. He will appear back in court on August 4th, maybe riding a stolen cattle. We don't know.
I thought it was just he walked into a room and stole a bucket of stuff. I'm not going to say it out loud because it just feels weird saying it. I don't know how FCC compliant. But like, I thought the story was just the guy took a bunch
of bull semen.
Thank you. Yeah. You said it. And we'll talk about this. This was like an Ocean's 11 type of scheme.
Oh, yes. Oh, it was very common. There's many levels of criminality involved here. But anyway, that wraps up today's edition of
This Shouldn't Be a Thing.
Again, Matt Rothschild is filling in for us on Monday. We will be back on Tuesday.
What? That feels like so far away.
I know. We'll be back on Tuesday with Todd Alba joining us after 9:30, and I'm very much looking forward to this. Felipe Torres Medina is going to be joining us.
Yes.
He is a comedian. He was a writer for the Colbert Show.
Yes.
He is an immigrant to this country, and he is out with a book.
I think that's the first time we've ever done this.
That we've had.
We actually had the book in our hand.
He's out with a book, so we're going to talk to him on Tuesday. The book is called America, Let Me In, A Choose Your Immigration Story. So Felipe Torres Medina joining us on Tuesday as well. Thank you, Greg and Calvin and all of our engineers and our traffic department, because without you, nothing works. And thank you most of all for calling and for texting and for listening. It does mean the world. I hope you find some joy over the weekend and you have the chance to share it Keep it right here. We got news coming up next on the Civic Media Radio Network. Happy 4th. We'll see you Tuesday.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.